Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman. We welcome you to this special day, a very special day in the lives of most people, which, of course, is December 25, the day of the celebration of the birthday of Jesus Christ, the day that we generally call Christmas. And though there's a lot of different ideas about what's the proper way to approach this as children of God, all of us recognize that the incarnation of Jesus Christ is probably the most significant event that has ever happened in the history of the world. And therefore, it is appropriate to remember that, to celebrate that, to thank God for it, to consider the scriptural teaching about it on any of the 365 days of the year. And so if we happen to do that on the day that others are celebrating, a day which may or may not have been the actual date for the birthday of Christ, surely this should not be considered displeasing to God. We are remembering the birth of Jesus Christ. We are remembering the great gift which God gave to sinners deserving of eternal condemnation. We are remembering the provision which God made for the cleansing of the sins of fallen sons and daughters of Adam when no provision was made for the sins of the fallen angels. A marvelous, marvelous act of God's grace. It's all undeserved. No provision for sinning angels. Having sinned, they sealed their condemnation. Wonderful provision for sinning men and women. Having sinned, God has provided a remedy. And that remedy begins with the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his birth into this world, in the nature, the body and nature of a man, and then, of course, his sinless life in keeping the requirements of God's commands, God's demands, God's instructions to us, and keeping them perfectly when none of us have done so, and in that way earning a righteousness which he is, by the perfect design and plan of God, able to impute, able to credit to the account of those who trust in him. And having secured a perfect righteousness, he died upon the cross to pay the penalty. So we're covered. If we trust in him, we're covered every way you look at it. And then, of course, he rose again from the dead. And all of that began with the incarnation. So we remember gladly, thankfully, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, how God became man and provided the remedy for our sins. Oh, may everyone who's hearing this message today gladly embrace the Christ who did that, the Savior who was given for sinful men and women. Well, thank you for joining us on this Friday, December 25. And please remember that we do depend upon the gifts of God's people, and we are coming close to the very end of the year, just a few more days, and we'll be evaluating the finances that God supplied throughout the year 2020 and making decisions on the continuation of the broadcast on various stations that will be influenced by the financial support that has been received, which is some indication of the effectiveness of the broadcast in that particular area. In years gone by, we have dropped stations, not often, but occasionally, when we just didn't hear from anybody for a long, long time and came to the conclusion that no one was benefiting, or that very few, if any, we didn't, as far as we could tell, nobody was benefiting from the broadcast of the program in those particular areas on those stations. So this is feedback that we depend upon, and if you would consider helping us at this time of year, we would be very, very grateful indeed. If you are a regular listener to the broadcast, you know that we have turned to Revelation chapter 12 for our Christmas text this year. Not a common one, but I think a very appropriate one. And I read verses 1 through 6 once again. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them down to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. What have we covered previously to today? Well, first of all, the wonder of a preserved people, which starts with the first great sign in heaven, which is this glorious woman, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and so forth, who gives birth to a marvelous child. And that child turns out to be the Son of God, as we see as the passage unfolds. And it also refers to these protected people who flee out into the wilderness and are preserved by God, a wonderful preservation by Almighty God of His protected people, of His favorite people. So first of all, the wonder of a preserved people, but secondly, the wonder of a powerful foe. And there's another sign in heaven. The first sign is the sign of the woman. And, of course, the word sign could also be translated symbol. We're talking about symbolism. The book of Revelation is filled with symbols. And so we have the symbol of this woman. And we have to consider what that symbol stands for. And as I've pointed out, some believe it stands for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Others believe it stands for the nation of Israel, the people that God used to produce the birth of Messiah. And still others think it's even broader than that, that indeed it is the people of God, but not restricted to the nation of Israel, but all the people of God, even before the time that God called Abraham and called into existence a nation, and those along the way who were Gentiles who also believed in the promises of God. But any way you look at it, at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, by far the greatest number of those who made up the people of God to that point in history were people called the Jews. And so it wouldn't be far-fetched to see this as a reference to the nation of Israel. But this powerful foe is clearly Satan, and he's identified as such in this passage. The great red dragon, Satan, who is the enemy of God and his people and has great power and authority, great destructive power, and he comes against this child, and he comes against this woman. He comes against both the Messiah, the Son of God, and he comes against the people that God used to produce that child with a great fury. And all of this constitutes what some have called the conflict of the ages. And I don't think that's a bad way to look at it. Looking again at verse 4, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and threw them down to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as he was born. And we read in the gospel accounts of a number of attempts by Satan to destroy Jesus in one way or another before he could fulfill his mission. And even before his birth, many, many attempts by Satan to destroy the nation that God prepared and preserved in order to bring the Messiah into the world and how vigorously Satan endeavored to destroy that nation before the time when the Messiah was to be born, the fullness of time. But God preserved the people who brought us the Messiah, and God preserved the Messiah. God's plan was carried out perfectly in spite of this great attack, this conflict of the ages between God and Satan, and those who align themselves with God through faith in His Word, and those who align themselves with Satan by refusing to believe the revelation of God and continuing in their rebellion against God. And that is the great conflict of the ages. And here we read that Satan was determined to devour her child as soon as it was born, a reference to Satan's murderous intention. And that takes us, of course, all the way back to the first promise, the proto-evangelium in Genesis 3:15, where we're told that there's going to be this conflict between Satan, the devil, the serpent there, but he's a symbol of the devil there, and the seed of the woman, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that Satan is going to do his best to destroy him, and he will inflict a painful blow, but simply a bruise upon his heel, whereas the Messiah, the seed of the woman, will conquer and will crush the head of Satan, which of course will destroy him. So Satan's murderous intention toward Christ turns out to be his own death, his own death warrant that will destroy him instead. But this conflict has gone down through the ages. We think, you could think of so many things. We think of Pharaoh's decree to destroy all the male children that were born to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 1. If that had been carried out, that would have been the end of the messianic line. But of course, it wasn't carried out. God preserved his people, and Moses was miraculously preserved by his parents placing him in that little ark in the bulrushes, and he ended up being protected and preserved and provided for by Pharaoh's own daughter. How God has an interesting way of fulfilling his promises. And on through the scriptures, we could read of Athaliah's plot in 2 Kings chapter 11, and on and on and on it goes. So many different historical attempts to destroy the royal seed, to destroy the line of David, to destroy the people through whom the Messiah should come, and yet every single attempt failed. And of course, we don't have to look only at the Old Testament. We can look at the New Testament and remember Herod's plot to kill all the male children in Bethlehem in order to destroy this particular child that is referred to in Revelation chapter 12. And throughout Jesus' lifetime, the many attempts that were made to destroy Jesus prematurely, to eliminate him by killing him, or to corrupt him in some way so that he could not fulfill his mission, and yet none of these succeeded. Now, I might point out that though Satan was unable to succeed in regard to Jesus, he still attempts to destroy the people of God today, the testimony of God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to eliminate it or to corrupt it so that it's no longer able to carry out its function. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Wonder of wonders, give praise to God. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.